Jeannie and Forrest had been married only 3 years. They were members of St. Charles Catholic Church, and they were very deeply in love. But then Jeannie was diagnosed with cancer, and she died soon thereafter. And Forrest stopped going to church because of the untimely death of his beloved bride. Jim was an 18-year-old college student who began to reflect upon the terrible suffering in the world and wondered how there could be a God in the midst of it all. So he stopped going to church. And Jesus today, or Jesus then, said to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And Peter says, God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. But Jesus keeps on trying to hammer that reality check into his disciples. His disciples, who are full of the flush of their leader being the Messiah, of having been transfigured before their eyes on Mount Tabor, who saw him perform incredible miracles and who heard his wondrous teaching. That's why later in this Gospel of Matthew, Jesus again predicts to them his passion and suffering and death, because they didn't get it the first time. And at the second prediction, we read that a great sadness came over the disciples. And that's because evil, sickness, and death depress us. We so much want to believe that if we believe in God, then none of those things will happen to us. That we will somehow be immune from those things. How many of you ever saw the movie Romero? Just 2-3 people? Well, you ought to see it. The inspiring movie about Archbishop Oscar Romero. In the beginning of the movie, we have a scene where there is a bus of Salvadorans who are accompanied by Father Rutilio Grande, who was a priest who was very instrumental in Archbishop Romero's own conversion, very dear friend of his. And Father Rutilio Grande and these Salvadorans are stopped by the Salvadoran military, who want to prevent them from voting. That's what they were going to do. So they had blockades up and this trumped-up excuse as to why the bus can't continue. So all the people decide, well, we'll walk then. Apparently it's a long way to walk, so that was a big decision to make. So they all get off the bus into the confusion and of the military guards who wanted to thwart them. They start walking to the polling place. And so as Father Rutilio Grande is walking with them, another young priest in the entourage comes running up beside Father Rutilio Grande, and he's so excited. He says, oh, this is so great, you know. God is with us. Look what we just did. God is with us. And Father Rutilio Grande says, oh, no, he said, remember, Jesus was arrested and crucified. And Father Rutilio Grande himself would be martyred later on. So where do we get that idea that if we believe in God and go to church and everything's going to be peachy? Some televangelists do preach that false gospel, but Jesus never perpetrates that illusion. Rather, he says something very interesting in response to Peter today. He says, you are thinking not as God thinks, but as human beings do. You are thinking not as God thinks, but as human beings do. And I tell you, God's thinking is so different from ours, that when the Word of made flesh, Jesus Christ, articulates the thinking of God, it sounds so strange, so paradoxical, so puzzling to our ears, like what he says today. Anyone who wants to save his life will lose it, and anyone who loses his life for my sake will find it. What strange words those are. Because God thinks very differently than we think. And so, just as Jesus was handed over to death, so our egos, our self, must be handed over to death, so that the life of Jesus will be visible in our mortal flesh. If we want to save a life that gets its life from its dependence on certain ideals or on people we love or on pleasure or on perfect health or on wealth, no matter how tightly we cling to those things as if our life depended on them, we will lose it. Because none of those things will last. But if we lose our life for Christ's sake, we'll find it. That is why if we attach ourselves to Christ, just as a branch is attached to a vine, we will always have life in Him. Even though everything else fades away, dies, or is lost. We could have the whole world, but without Christ, when it all passed away, we'd have nothing. And so that is why St. Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, that the life of Jesus must be visible in our body. That's why Jesus says in our gospel today that he will reward everyone according to their behavior. That is, how our bodies are used. So if we lose something or someone precious, if we lose something or someone precious, then Jesus still wants to live through our body. So we don't just give it all up. But as Paul says, we discern what is God's will, what is good, acceptable, and mature for our lives in that situation. And if our ideals are shattered, or if we are confronted with cosmic evil, then we don't just fall into an abyss of bitter disillusionment, but rather we ask ourselves, how can Jesus' life be manifest in my body, be visible in my flesh in response to that? That's what Mother Teresa and all the saints did. I mean, goodness gracious, Mother Teresa sees horrible human suffering on the streets of Calcutta. But she doesn't respond to it by not going to church anymore. But she asks herself, how can the life of Jesus be made visible in my flesh in response to this? And so Paul warns us, do not be conformed to the contemporary world. And Jesus says, the Son of Man will reward everyone according to their behavior. So may our behavior be transformed by the renewing of our minds. May the word and life of Jesus burn within us, burn in our hearts like it did the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading. so that we have the mind of Christ, so that the life of Jesus is visible in our flesh, so that our thinking and behavior is not like human beings who are unenlightened. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.